Morning Show with Peaches and DJ Mota.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Dumb, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy Roots Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
Now you're better.
He's good now.
He's good now.
Because now it's like more on him. How's everybody doing today? Mota, you doing good?
I'm doing good.
Peaches? Good. Peaches, why are you always on Twitter?
I'm actually on your phone. Why my name not in your favorites?
Is it not? A lot of my, hey, don't feel bad about that. There's a lot of people who are favorite people of mine who aren't in my favorites.
You told me I was like one of your top two favorite people, and I'm not in your favorites.
On your You're not in my favorites on my
this
phone.
This reminds me of those
How many times do I just call you?
I'm not in his top eight.
Top eight.
Top eight.
If I had a top 16,
I wouldn't be in it either.
You really? Might be.
Number 16.
Is that how you feel?
Anyway, Peaches.
No.
We have a good show for you today. We have the lovely, beautiful, and talented Bree Terry on the show. First female on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
You're so excited.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so
excited.
Peaches, you've been bringing nothing but dudes. Just a bunch of man meat.
I liked it like that. I'm sorry.
Oh, really? You're going to throw a gay joke out? That's what you're going to do?
Oh, what? God.
So that's what you're going to do?
What?
Peaches?
What I do?
You know I'm known for fornicating and finagling some fine females in
Brad
my day.
Ocean.
Right, you got to come up with Brad a new alliteration.
I haven't used that one in forever.
You haven't.
Which one?
The fornicating and finagling fine females with my feathered hair. See that one? But we have a she's going to come on here. We met at the Debonair Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
She's performed a couple of times up there, and we all really enjoyed her performance, including you.
DJ
Mota was there too. Yeah. The first time she performed, and
were you? Because you look like he's telling a lie.
I was there the first time.
Oh
yeah,
your face was like, no, I wasn't, but I'm gonna go with it.
No, I wasn't.
But yeah, we're gonna have her on just in a minute. I want to take this time to actually plug all of our little individual things. We're going to start with Peaches. What do you got coming up, Peaches?
Tomorrow's Ask Peaches.
Hashtag Ask Peaches.
On DannyDream.com. And I have some other stuff, but I'm not talking about it just yet.
Cooking up. DJ Mota, any gigs in the horizon? Anything you're working on, man?
Well, by the time they hear this, my gigs would have passed. So I have a gig on Sunday.
Anything upcoming with Stars or anything?
Yeah. Every other Friday, I'm at Star Sports Bar out in Katy. If you're hanging out in Katy, it's right across from That Bar, Katy.
It's called That Bar. It actually is. There's a huge LED, like, neon
sign. I'm not there. I'm at the Star Sports Bar.
But he's at Stars, which is across from there. Every other Friday,
every
right?
other Friday, let's see, not this Friday, but next Friday, the 20th, I believe.
Yeah. And you know, each and every Monday morning is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. And Monday nights, you can see me hosting the Debonair Lounge, co-host with my man Tay Mitch.
And tonight,
when y'all are listening to this, my band, our band, The Band, 2011, will be performing at the Debonair Lounge tonight. We're going to be playing stuff off our new project, 20 Summers, which you can get at 20-summers.com. Also, 2011.bandcamp.com. And also, September the 14th, you can come see me. I will be the ring announcer at Booker T's Reality of Wrestling on Clear Lake at the Clear Lake Sports and Recreation Complex at 16511 Diana Lane out in Clear Lake. You can reserve seats. Just tweet me. Follow me at Brad Gilmore on Twitter. What's y'all's Twitters?
At Tata La Peaches on everything. Twitter, Instagram.com.
Go check out me and Peaches' videos on TataLaPeachesTV.com.
On YouTube.
What? On YouTube, yeah. You're not
in the car.
You're not in the car.
You're not in the car. All
right. I guess you got to pick me up now, dude.
And at DJ Mota.
DJ Mota.
And that's on Instagram, Twitter.
Facebook.
All of that.
Facebook. I forgot about that.
I don't really use my Facebook that much. My family's on
there. Did anyone sign up for the new MySpace?
But I have an old MySpace, and they won't let me get into my old MySpace. And I want pictures for Throwback Thursday for my old MySpace.
Screenshots, girl.
I can't get in. I can't log in.
Oh, right.
What?
I thought I'd throw it in there. I didn't know. English accents all day.
No.
So we're going to get into DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix here on the Bragg and Moore Show on Demand, and then we'll be here with our interview from the lovely and talented
Bree Terry.
I just wanted you to say the name.
Did you?
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back, y'all. Stay tuned in.
Nobody like you. Now, everywhere I go, at the end of the day, I gotta see your pretty face. But hey, ooh, it's nobody like you. I get so lonely living life without you. I sure wish I did it right. Toss and turn every night. Oh no, 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 no. Hey, 'cause I've been around the world, been a lot of places, seen all these pretty faces. But hey, ooh, it's nobody like you. Everywhere I go, at the end of the day, I gotta see your pretty face. But hey, ooh, it's nobody like. Thank you.
But I embrace that. Just show love. We'll escape back and get ahead like Wade Kelsey. Run through these niggas' minds so much that it's tiring. But hope to encourage more soft shit that's inspiring. Matter of fact, I'm seasoned, cocky, but got reason. Competition ain't even to 100 OBs. This is for those who overlook, though you still a bitch in my pick. I see you shine. Yeah, and this is for those who thought I failed. I hope my success bring you niggas hell. I salute you. This is for those who overlook, though you still a bitch in my pick. I see you shine. Yeah, and this is for those who thought I failed. I hope my success bring you niggas hell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
What?
That is not the good on demand. He waited on you for that on demand. And
I like built it up so big, Motai.
My bad.
Can we? You want to try it again?
No.
Okay, we'll get it again.
You're not here for it today?
No, later.
How you doing today, Motai?
Right. You had a bad day. How was your drive here?
No, I wasn't bad. There was no traffic at all. It was actually great.
You should eat some chips or something.
I will in a minute. Some of these too.
He's just so Asian sometimes. It doesn't even realize. Like, the accent isn't there, but the characteristics are there. Don't squint at me. Oh, wait.
Funny.
Peaches, how you doing?
Tyler, you okay? You want me to beat him up?
Brad, yeah.
We're going to jump him later.
All right.
After the show. We have a good show for you today, don't we, Peaches?
Yeah.
I have my sunglasses on. I'm feeling Hollywood because there's a video camera in the room. Look at that. See that? Do you see that, Peaches? I got right up in the video scope, brother.
Because you're an attention whore.
I'm a whore for it. That's correct. I whore myself out for attention.
Because you're an attention whore.
Yeah, I defined it for you. We have a good show today. Everybody, please welcome our guest. I say everybody like we're in a live audience.
We are.
Please welcome the lovely Bree Terry.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, she was working on her intro for a minute.
I know.
Hello, everyone.
She came out fancy. I feel like we got to get it together.
I know, right? We'll see. Just catch up to me and then you'll be good, Peaches.
You know, Brad, so quickly you go so far.
You know, this, so we started the on demand. This is the 17th?
15th. 16th.
17th.
Which episode is this?
17th, right? Of the on demand series?
I'm going to look.
What? I don't know. But it's that you're actually our first female guest on the show in a long time, actually.
Yes, I'm very excited to be
here. I was excited.
He was like, you always book nothing but guys. And I'm like, well, they're easier and a surplus.
What do you mean they're easier? What does that mean?
Just what I said.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And then, you know, I saw you perform at Debonair Lounge, not this past Monday, but the last Monday. And I was like, she got to come on the show.
She performed Monday before. Okay, Leah, last month. But did you actually performed
the very first.
The very first.
The very first week.
Hold on. Now I'm thrown off.
What?
Was the first week the week that I was there?
No.
Okay, so you performed the first for week.
The very, very, very
You performed BG before Gilmore.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Did you? Never
What'd mind. You say?
Yeah.
Performed BG.
He made his initials into an actual thing, but it wasn't even about him. That really just happened. And it was low-key good.
She performed before Gilmore.
All right.
But you want to know what, Gilmore?
What's up?
I enjoyed my performances when you were there.
See?
Not saying that I didn't before.
Don't flatter him.
But you just brightened up the entire Debonair.
Stop.
See, this is why. Listen. You took Debonair to a whole nother level.
Look, yeah.
This is why I don't
so
compliment
happy.
Brad, because everybody else always just falls all over him, and I'm the leveling thing on the other side. I got to keep the other side of the scale.
Peaches doesn't want to see me prosper. That's all.
What do you mean? If you prosper,
I'm trying to hold me down.
I want you to prosper.
So then you should boost me up more.
Nah,
give me more confidence, Peaches.
No,
that's all
Brad,
I'm asking.
Because I have to deal with you when a microphone's not in your hand.
Uh-oh.
Now
she has a point.
Pause on that. I don't even know if I liked how you said that.
I mean,
it
at
just
least
made
I
me uncomfortable.
When you don't have a microphone in your hand.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the innuendos. All right. I don't know where you're going with it, but I don't like it.
Oh, so you could do it to me though?
Yeah.
No.
Whatever. So we're talking about me.
Tyler.
Right?
Uh-huh.
No, okay, so you performed Debonair like first week, right?
Yes.
I remember when I came, when I started the hosting, shout out to Tay Mitch, by the way.
Right.
When I came to host, mm-hmm. you blew me away.
Awesome.
That he did. He actually so came and told me that when you were getting ready to go up, on, when I came, he was like, I saw her go, she's so good. Like, look, you're going to love her. She's so good.
Yeah, before you perform, I'm like, you're going to love this girl. All right?
Thank you.
Because I do. Multiple reasons.
Aw. Why you love me, Brad?
Oh, see, now is this now the other side? Now I boost you up and we can just...
That's why not?
You we can inflate to our egos. On the show, so woo her. There you go.
Oh, don't worry. Wooing has commenced. The wooing began when she walked in the room, all right? Once I put the shades on, that's woo mode.
That's all right? Woo mode?
That's woo mode, all
so
right?
So now you in woo.
That's my debonair, suave...
Oh, yes. Shout out to Tay Mitch on that, definitely.
Definitely shout out to Tay Mitch, but... Anyway, but that's where we came in contact, and I had not heard of you though before that.
Okay.
All right, I had not heard of Bree Terry before. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I guess this sounds like so like first date type stuff. All right, maybe
right.
It is. Maybe we can make that happen.
I anyway, cuffing season started today. So
cuffing season started today.
Well, it's preseason.
It's preseason.
It's the interview process of cuffing season, apparently.
Yeah, because relationships are a wintertime sport. So in the fall, you kind of shop around.
Right.
You see what we'll see. What you're gonna check out with?
Is what they say. That's
hey, this the name of the game. All right. Because now we went from spring flings. All right, to summer loving. All right. Now we're preseason on the cuffing season. But anyway, back to you. So how when did you start making music? How long you've been doing it? Blah 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 blah.
I began. Well, let me take you all the way back.
Do it.
I performed for the very first time in my life when I was 6 years old.
Uh-oh.
My first grade teacher. Basically shut the school down, like put when she found out that I could sing, she the auditorium, she cleared it out and they had a concert
for you. Did you go to school here in Houston?
I went in Baytown, Texas.
Baytown.
Yes.
All right, what school?
Pumphrey Elementary.
Never heard of it, but it's all right.
Yes. Miss Istry. Brad. Her name was Miss Istry.
That's right.
And she, I'm telling you, principals, every classroom in the building had to come to the auditorium at that time. And it was crazy because they allowed her to do that.
Yeah, well, she must have some strokes.
Really she was just a teacher?
Uh-huh. She was my first grade teacher.
Wow. That's amazing. That's
cool. That is cool. I wish my teachers were like that.
Not even
like,
a principal.
That's right?
Like tight. Right. So that's tight.
It is. And from that day.
How nervous were you, though?
She was six. She was shining.
Yeah, yeah. Six, you don't get nervous, do you?
Honestly,
I didn't have a nervous bone. I was just ready to
go for
perform.
It.
Yeah.
You didn't have a nervous bone, but I'm pretty sure you have a nervous system.
I couldn't help it.
It was just right there. It was just right there. I had to grab for it. It was so.
from that day, Brad, you're so crazy. But from that day, I knew that this was my destiny. I knew that this was what I was going to do, no matter how long it took, no matter what it was. But I didn't take it to that next level, meaning like in recording studio, till I was about 15.
Mm-hmm.
I started recording, you know, doing some minor things, local, being around here, and I met this guy. It was really wasn't, you know, all that, but. He got me in the studio, and I created my first album called Unanswered. Really didn't do too much, but it didn't stop me there. So at this point, I was about 16 whenever I finished the album. Had a little minor setback, but once I got that taken care of, I came back into it. And
Are you going to brush over the minor setback? You don't mention the minor setback and then not like, you want to talk about it?
It's personal.
Okay. No issues.
Yeah,
keep going.
Let's leave it there.
It's all good.
But God is so good and he's so present in my life that I figured if I had the opportunity to step back into it, mm-hmm. I would. And I would go full fledged and not quit and, you know, just stay really constant at it. And that's what I did when I was about 19. So that was 2 years ago. So I've been really just out here in Houston, really just pushing myself and pushing the music for about a year and a half now.
Oh, look at
my
that.
Progression from last year to this year, it has
leaps
happened
and
in
bounds.
Such a major way.
Tell me about it.
Well, last year, I'm not going to say that I was considered the underdog of the age, but I was around some very popular people, you know, working with Ebony the Stylist.
Shout out to Ebony.
Yeah, shout out to Ebony.
I know Ebony.
With other people as
well.
But
always felt as if I was the underdog. Like, at that time, like, I don't feel like I was where I needed to be as an artist.
Yeah.
I didn't take my workout serious. I was eating whatever I wanted to eat. I did whatever I wanted to do. I slept until 12, thinking that I just can do whatever I want to do.
All right.
And it didn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm. So, over the time, I met my producer, who is my producer now. His name is T-Berry. So, shout out to Eat Something and T-Berry. And he really got me focused. He recreated my sound, and that remotivated me. Meaning before, you know, I was in a studio, but it really wasn't like
you in the studio.
Me in the studio. You know, it was kind of like, it was no polishing. That's what I want to say. Like, I was just an artist going to the studio,
recording a record, putting it out. Hey, y'all, check out my music. It had value to it because it was me. Everything is a stepping stone. But I met my producer, who is my producer now, and we've created a wonderful sound together. And so that remotivated me. That put me in the gym. That, you know, so now I have something to work for because now I love my music. You know, because every artist goes through that second
hating themselves.
You know, like, I can never get out of it. You know, but he actually helped me. Again, shout out to T-Berry. He helped me. He remotivated me. And I just hit the ground running. And I took risk.
Yeah.
You know, I really stepped out on faith, you know, because for a while, I was really...
See, she sounds like me. Like, that's how I've been. I'm like, look.
I don't know how I'm going to get there, you know, but I seriously, like, drastically, like, took risk. Like, honestly.
That was so motivational.
She's a good interview. Like, jeez. Yeah. Like, you, like I said, hey, catch me up with Bree. And you literally took me through life just now.
Yeah. I got inspired.
Right?
Definitely.
Did you start thinking about, like, man, maybe I shouldn't sleep around?
You know, that's what I told you. Like, I've been over here, like, it's stuff I know that I needed to go do and stuff that I need to get together and ideas that I've been sitting on. And
exactly.
And, you know, and it's taking risk. And that can be hard because it's
very hard.
Your product.
And now.
Exactly. And but I do want to encourage you even more. Like, don't take no for an answer.
First and foremost,
don't take no for an answer.
But that's Peaches. She's ratchet in real life. She's
once
just
you
thug.
Have your plan, execute it. Don't look for an approval because
that's
this is
I'm
about
at.
You. This
that's
is about
I'm
Peaches.
At.
Brad, you are about Brad.
Duh.
Brad is about Peaches.
Making no, sure Brad's about Brad.
But definitely, if you
DJ Moti.
Execute any
DJ
plan,
Moti.
Any plan that you have.
Hey, Moti. Where you been? Where were you at?
I was running some errands.
What you was doing?
Why, hey, Peaches, why you get all in his business?
Hey, am I talking to you?
Okay. Now you are.
Sorry.
Just kidding. I was running some errands.
Trying to save you. What you was doing? Where you went?
Let him. You ran errands. Dang. Like, errands aren't
why
interesting,
are you
Peaches.
Why defending him so much?
Because this is my motel.
What if I didn't want to sell you? Wait, what?
How you feel about that?
I don't know about that, Brad.
I'm just kidding. Kind of.
All right. Oh, yeah, you are.
So you covered a lot of ground for me just then, but I actually want to take it back to the first grade performance, though. All right? You said there was no nerve. Peaches, can you get it together? I'm conducting interviews here.
Hey, we are over here. Us, not you.
Yeah, you're over there. You're off task.
I can be off task.
I don't need any horseplay or tomfoolery. All right? We're doing an interview with Bree Terry. I would like for you to show her some respect, Peaches.
You didn't even believe yourself.
Take your glasses off.
Not that I'm not respecting
you,
but you didn't believe yourself.
Hold on, I'm going to do it this time.
No,
I would like for you to show her some respect.
I think this eye.
Yeah, new rules. All right. No, okay, so you're in the first grade.
Yes.
So you performed it. You weren't nervous at all.
At all.
When was the next performance after that?
Every Friday.
You performed every Friday?
At the school.
Wow.
Like, I would go to the fifth grade classrooms, fourth grade classrooms, and their teachers would, like, email my first grade teacher and
your
be like.
Your first grade teacher set you up for success.
She was like,
she honestly
yo,
did.
I got what
no,
a plan.
What like, did you sing?
Just whatever.
Have You Ever by Brandy. My very first song that
I thought
I
you
sung,
was about to start singing. I was ready for it.
I got you. Uh-oh. Very first song that I sung to her, I was a Jody Messina fan. I'm a country. Mm-hmm. I'm a country fan.
Oh,
somebody's gonna give you a lesson and leave, and somebody's gonna give you back what you've been given. And I hope that I'm around to watch them knock you down. Oh, it's like you to love them and leave them just like you love me and left me. It's like you to do that sort of thing. So that was my first thing.
Ah! Sorry, Peaches. I'm happy now. All right, keep going. Did you learn it all in elementary school, or were you just all singing
just
the whole time?
Throughout.
I figured out there's no
like you
studies.
You sang your way through school.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was like almost like you were, instead of being like a star football player, you were the singer, and I was like, she got to go sing on Friday. She's not taking the test.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It was almost like that.
Oh,
that
like
was
that.
Pretty brilliant.
I wish I had
actually.
I didn't develop talents until I was like senior year of high school. Like I didn't have any talents. I wish I had them back in elementary. I would.
No, but that's like, I don't know. In elementary school, I was a sugar plum fairy for the Nutcracker and like the.
You were the sugar plum fairy.
Hey, I did ballet for a long.
You weren't
time.
The sugar peach fairy. I'm sorry, these things are just so right there.
That was before I was peaches, technically. But
you've been peaches since day one.
Okay,
you think really fast.
Yo.
Sugar peach.
Sugar peaches. So
but that's a good thing though, because I guess that helped you conquer stage fright and things.
That's what I'm gonna ask. So were you nervous ever
being
again?
In front of people.
Every time I get on or before I go on stage, there's these butterflies that go in my stomach. But it's not like a, oh, I'm about to puke.
It's not a nervous thing. Well, because when
like that.
When we perform mm-hmm. with our band. It's like, I think we all, we're not nervous. We get anxious to get on stage.
I think that's what it is.
I don't think it's nervousness because I know I'm good.
Right.
I'm confident in the skill.
Yes.
I know people are going to like me,
see,
so there's
I'm
no
nervous.
Reason to be nervous.
It's confidence.
But Peaches, yeah. She hosted a show recently, and I could tell she was nervous.
Really?
Every second of the time.
I'm not a.
Peaches doesn't like being in front of people.
I don't. Like, I'm good here because it's a, you know, it's a closed setting.
Gotcha.
And we're here, and I'm good. You know, in a room where I'm, you know, just doing like the networking and meeting people, but being the center of attention like that, like what?
That's not true.
No,
it's not her. I'm trying.
Like
to
when he
make
brought
it.
Me on stage, like when he did that at Debonair, I knew I was coming to get the jacket because we planned that. But the introducing
oh, yeah.
me thing,
I
like,
plan my stunt moves.
He knows I hate that. Like he knows I hate it. I
didn't know that.
You didn't?
Nope.
Oh, when Dallas called me on stage at the Jazz Cat uh-huh. thingy,
Corbin.
Corbin, what? I am not calling him that Disney character.
Well, no, no.
I think he's talking. Yeah. Anyways,
keep going.
But no, I'm getting used to it. Everybody's yelling at me about it now that I need to get more used to it and get more, you know, acquainted with it because like hosting gigs are coming up more often.
Yeah.
And,
it's right there.
You know, stuff like that. So I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But
yeah, I think it's that. Good. But it's anxious. No. She gets nervous, but you just got anxious.
Yes.
You got see. I think that's actually like a great thing that you were able to perform for those so many people. Because then I'm sure like anytime you had to give a presentation in class, if during like you know you had like a you had the trifold poster board, and if you start bombing on your presentation, you start whipping out some songs. You could just like
you
it
did
was just
that. Oh my gosh, you did that. Oh,
no. Nah. If you did, that'd been so great.
Yeah, I was ready. Like, it was a science presentation. It was about molecules. So I made up a song about molecules. That's what I would have done.
No, I would have just.
That's a great idea. Not looking back. I mean, I never thought of it like that, though.
Oh, I would have used that tool
and
for
I'm telling
everything
you, I
possible.
I would have gotten an A.
You would have instead of that C+ average you had. No, I'm just joking. I didn't know. I was just reaching again. I didn't know.
Maybe a B.
Okay,
or
maybe
a B+.
Okay, so you said you started started recording when you were 15?
Yes.
And okay, so your first times in the recording studio probably sucked, right?
I'm not going to say they sucked.
I mean, it sucks
for
me.
I'm going to say that it was just below average.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what you're doing.
It's your first time.
Exactly, right. Yeah. It was my first time. But I put some really nice songs together, though.
Mm-hmm.
I've always written my own music, but I'm always open to songwriters. Whoever's listening, I'm always open to songwriters.
Yeah.
It makes my job a little bit easier. But I've always written. So whenever I went in, my producer at the time just let me do whatever I do. I mean, they came out to be nice songs, but, you know, of course.
No direct. Did he not really give you a direction or anything? It was just kind of like sing it.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
On that note.
On that note. No pun intended.
Okay, come on, Brad.
I'm sorry. I'm jumpy right now. I'm like, brr.
It's okay.
It's because there's a camera on me.
That really is what it is. Like, I don't, like, when he's by himself or if it's just me and him, he's good. The moment other people start coming and microphones start appearing and cameras start appearing,
it's like a people thing.
It's like Spy's not allowed to do drugs or alcohol.
Yeah,
I get mad when he drinks an energy drink.
I think I'm off those again. I'm into the natural things. I'm like teas. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot. Of, like I'm drinking. I mean, it's Arizona. I don't know if that's natural, but I'm drinking teas, ginsengs. Have you ever taken you're Asian. Have you ever had like a ginseng shot?
No.
Like one of those, you know those little bottle things that come with the little straws? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh my God, those are terrible. They sell them at like every corner store.
No, I've never seen them.
Never?
Nope.
Anyway, have you ever had a ginseng shot?
Never.
Anybody?
I've never seen it.
Why?
Okay, first of all, they taste disgusting.
How is that relevant?
But second, like you don't, like you do not, like it's like eight Red Bulls.
People go be fake healthy and they start picking vitamins and certain things. I'm like, well, I had this. Like, you don't even know what it does.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why did you even go
get that?
What
does ginseng
do for you? Do you know?
Energy, I think.
What does ginseng do for you?
It's like an energy boost.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain.
Did you get that off the can?
No, I just assumed that's what it did. It sounded like ginseng.
Well, if you're
what I'm saying, it sounds like.
I'm going to look it up right now.
It sounds very energizing.
Ginseng.
Ginseng, right? It sounds,
and
I don't know.
Fake healthy. It just gives you energy.
He doesn't know.
The point of the story,
did
I don't even know how
you just create your own vitamin and definition?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know how we started talking about ginseng.
You brought this up.
I know, but I don't remember what prompted
it. You're Asian. You know what ginseng is.
Yeah. But why did that? I don't even remember how I got on that subject.
It helps boost the immune system and lowers blood pressure. It has nothing to do with your energy
that
level.
That sounds very energy-like. Boost the immune system, right?
No.
It's a boost. That's the thing.
That's like reinforcing a staircase or something, like reinforcing concrete or whatever you reinforce when you build stuff. I don't know.
See, now you're using terms where you don't know where they're supposed to be,
Peaches.
Yeah,
I tried. I reached real far for that one, but it was better than what you did.
You said you like country?
Yes.
Like country music?
Country music.
Let's talk about your artist. I'm a country person.
Miranda Lambert.
Miranda Lambert's good.
Jody Messina is an old-time favorite.
Mm-hmm,
Carrie
mm-hmm.
Underwood.
Mm-hmm,
guy off of what is that TV show?
Oh,
the Voice.
Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
Oh God, my little girl. What's his name?
Tim
McGraw.
Oh, Tim. Okay. Okay, yeah, okay. Don't say you're a country fan if you can't name Tim McGraw.
I was trying to think of his name.
No, okay, but that surprised me. A lot of people, especially in like the hip-hop and R&B world.
Because he did the song with Nelly.
No, and I'm not talking about Tim McGraw. We're not talking about Nelly.
Are we talking about country, period?
We're talking about country, period. A lot of people don't like country music.
I like country.
Listen.
Country. You like country?
This is my thing about country. I actually really, really, really like country music.
She's country.
I'm very country as well.
But it's the difference.
I just prefer to have a beer in my hand and be sitting outside.
Some fried chicken.
Yeah, like, right.
On a Friday night.
Yeah. You know, with the sun setting. And that's how I like my country music. You know, that's how I prefer. If I'm going to have it, then I'm all for it. I do like country music a lot, actually.
Why do you think people don't like it? Like in the hip-hop R&B atmosphere.
I don't think they've actually ever listened
given
to it.
Given it a chance. Because,
yeah,
I mean,
it's similar to R&B.
It's similar.
Yes, but.
Because they're singing.
What I like the most about country music is if you listen to the song.
It's so authentic.
Every country song that I've ever heard had a story.
Yeah.
Like a true storyline to it.
No matter what it was.
No matter what it was.
It
fast or slow. Anything.
Like
it has a true storyline behind it.
My favorite country song is really, really ratchet, and I heard it at Sam's Boat. But it was about a guy singing about how he liked this girl and she had a beer gut, but he liked her for her beer gut. And it's an entire song. And I just thought that was so awesome.
Well, see, I'm one of the few people who I think hip hop and country music are very closely related. If
they're
you
very
think
similar.
About it. Because you think about, they talk about where they're from. You know, they use certain words that they don't other people in different cultures don't use, right?
They have their own colloquialisms and
stuff. Yeah, their own colloquialisms, right? It's really to a distinct amount of people, like a certain type of people like it, you know, most of the time. It's not like a pop music is for it, like almost everybody.
International, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But like country is for like these type of people.
Right. And hip hop is for, yeah.
Gotcha. You got your rednecks and you got your gangsters, you know, if you will, you know what I'm saying? Right. And I think that's why they're like close related, but that Nelly Tim McGraw thing I didn't like too much.
What?
I think the Nelly Tim McGraw song.
I didn't like that either.
Over and over again.
What about the Nelly and Florida Georgia Line?
I heard that too, and I didn't like that either. And then Ludacris did some remix recently to a country record. Sometimes they don't
with
go
Jason
together.
With
Jason Aldean, yeah. Sometimes they just don't go together.
But you want to know what? I agree. But I know for a fact I will be linking up with a country artist.
See, I think that's fine. Because you're not Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne trying to do rock and roll is like and country, and I'm like Lil Wayne. Come on, man.
He, as an artist, after you've reached a certain stature and you've done so much, there is nothing wrong with wanting to venture. There are other genres.
No, there is something wrong with it if it's bad.
To you, he enjoyed it.
Like himself. Lil Wayne,
he just tried. It's one of those things. He might not have. He shouldn't have tried to sell it. He should have just done it as a.
He also tried to sing. You remember that too?
Oh, man.
That's everybody's fault. Like,
right.
Everybody trying to sing.
You're right. I laugh so hard at that.
Well, as a singer, what do you think about people using like auto-tune and fixing their vocals?
Well, I have... Okay, auto-tune, what I don't want you to be misunderstood by, auto-tune can be used.
Oh, I think
only
you can,
Only because... Like, I have a song where I use auto-tune.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I have to, because I could bust a note and I'll close your mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ow.
But
she gets out of feeling.
She told you.
Close your mouth. But
auto-tune is just a tool. Like, I have my track that I use auto-tune on is very futuristic.
Yeah.
Now, if I would have got on that track just singing on it, it wouldn't have given you the vibe.
Same feel, right?
You feel me? So... Using auto-tune, I don't believe is bad. I can't say that I'm opposed to it because I've used it before. But as far as people who can't sing trying to use it, I mean, everybody trying to make it. So, I mean, whatever you got to do, whatever is going to make you feel better as an artist, do what you do.
Well, see, I think you can use auto-tune, like you said, like if it fits the song. And sometimes,
right.
I mean, sometimes there are actual artists who just use it for the effect. Like, I remember
exactly.
Back in the day, what was that Cher record? The You Believe in Love After Love song had the
auto tune in.
Some early Kid Rock records had the auto tune in it. But I just don't think like Lil Wayne, just don't sing.
When you use it to try to sing or make yourself
like he has no even like kind of pitch. I don't even know how he gets away with it. And people bought it. Lil Wayne sucks a little bit.
After you establish it, like a core fan base and people that
can do whatever,
support you no matter what. It really doesn't matter what you do. You jump off the cliff, they're gonna be like, jump. Like even if it's bad, they're just
but
gonna
like
be
what?
There.
I don't like that because it's like I think the last four or five albums Lil Wayne put out are terrible. They're god awful.
He doesn't. I can agree. I like the old Wayne better too.
And well, I actually just told somebody that I was like, he doesn't have anything to prove like he did then. You know,
But he might. You say that. But why can Jay-Z still make records or Eminem still make records and they come out good and dope? Peaches?
I'm asking you
about that one.
Okay.
Huh.
Jay-Z's a different type of artist. He's a different type of dude. Period.
And his crowd is different from Lil Wayne.
But he still wants to say, I'm the GOAT. I'm the greatest of all time.
But you got
to
understand that Jay-Z isn't just a rapper. Like Jay-Z
I'm not talking about everything else he does.
No,
I'm talking about his rapping.
I'm saying in general, even in his rapping, he's still rapping about what he's doing. He's still rapping about the power moves and the meetings and stuff that he's having. Lil Wayne ain't doing nothing but skating and doing drugs. That's really all he can rap about. Skating,
that's why
drugs, and the money he made.
I was never one of those guys who said Lil Wayne was the greatest rapper alive.
I mean, when he was on that
he's never been the greatest rapper alive.
When he was on that run, cool. Like that, when he was trying to prove that and was trying to, because he wasn't being as accepted as he wanted to be. And then once he got that acceptance, he got very comfortable very quickly. And then I guess that's why right before he dropped Dedication, he was like, you know, he noticed that he wasn't invited to perform at any of the
VMA
during award
stuff,
season,
yeah.
He wasn't invited to any of the awards.
Because all of his songs sucked.
Right, but, you know, I think as an artist, sometimes you do get comfortable. Like, even,
yes.
You know, even with me, I got comfortable with what I was doing, knowing that I wanted to do more and that I could do more. But it was like, okay, well, if I have these people here, they're going to mess with this anyway, then what's a little extra effort when I can just kind of chill? But then it's like, why chill? Like,
exactly.
If you're here to do this, and
that's
what
I'm saying.
But that
so why
maybe
put out eight
now?
Mediocre albums?
Well, because
and 40 mediocre mixtapes.
You can't make him want to do what you want him to do. You're not him. You don't run his life.
I know, but you were saying like, well, once you get a core fan base, you can do whatever you want.
I mean, that's true, though.
Oh, terrible. You can't put out bad music.
I mean, that's the unfortunate truth, though, because...
That is.
I mean...
If Jay-Z put out a bad album, if I think it's trash, you don't think it's trash. You still going to buy it because you support Jay-Z like that.
No, I'll buy it and I'll listen to it, but it's probably going to be garbage.
But you already bought it, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, that makes a point. I didn't like the Kingdom... But see, here's the thing. But then there are the Lil Wayne fans out there who know it's bad, but will ride or die and say, this is the greatest raps ever.
Yes.
You're allowed to support.
He said, don't mess
support.
Up with Wayne, because when it wanes, it pows. No, that's what he said. It's not even like... He said, I had a phone in jail. Call it a cell phone.
That's pretty clever, actually.
That's not clever at all.
I mean, he was in a cell and he had a phone.
In a cell, yeah.
Yeah.
But how's that good? That doesn't make it good.
So you mad that he can say that?
And people say that's the greatest stuff of all time.
I mean, Brad, you think there's some stuff that you think is the greatest stuff of all time that I don't agree with. It's just perception.
Wait, what is that?
Just what I said.
No, what do I like that you don't? That I think is the greatest of all time. That's right, Peaches.
Jay-Z.
Okay.
I'm not as big of a
We don't want to open that can of worms.
No, I'm just not as big of a fan of Jay-Z as you are, like, and as a lot of people. So everybody's like, he's the greatest rapper alive. I'm like, okay, cool to you, but if he's not my type of music, then...
He's not the greatest rapper alive.
Okay.
Who would you consider?
Eminem. When you talk about the technical ability of rapping, no one can technically rap better than Eminem.
Who's your favorite rapper?
Jay-Z might be my favorite, but you can't rap better than Eminem.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jay-Z's my favorite rapper.
I am a Jay-Z fan.
Who's your favorite singer?
OB.
Oh, Beyonce. In the family for you.
As far as entertaining, I don't know. I feel like I can challenge Beyonce vocally.
That's a bold statement. Here's the thing. Beyonce's a great singer.
She is.
She's, but you can tell her voice is a very trained voice, too. You can tell that. So sometimes I feel like it lacks some emotion behind it sometimes. Beehive, don't mess me up.
I was going to say, watch yourself.
I love Beyonce, but I feel like she's such a trained vocalist.
You got something to say, though. We could use that.
No, but I'm saying I feel like she's such a trained vocalist that that you know it sometimes is not raw to me.
What do you think?
I mean...
Tim, this is me.
I disagree.
I mean,
only
fine,
because
fine.
She is trained vocally, but she'll switch it up on you in a second. I'm telling you, she shows straight rawness to me when she's on stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, no, on stage, I think she might be like the greatest performer out right now.
But,
like,
I mean,
she's a performer because she can make herself cry on, like, wow, tear.
I mean, but I think when she's on stage, it really is that much emotion. And
yes,
that much,
I honestly
because
feel
you
so.
Have that much energy.
She's dope.
Well, you have all those people in the crowd and they're there for you and they're so connected. Like, that's,
exactly.
Like, that would,
see,
I wouldn't
if
be able
people
to
like Beyonce and then seeing Justin Timberlake's performance on the Video Music Awards.
That was
and
nice.
You're like, man, these are performers.
Yes.
These are people who.
I didn't realize his catalog was that extensive.
Oh, Justin?
I knew it.
Justin has hits.
Yeah, it's like,
and
you
he
know
he's got
that.
Decades.
It's like, and it's like, you know that, but then everybody, like myself, I was complaining about the lack of music. So I was like, okay, after you married Jessica, I want an album.
And he gave you two.
Right. And I think even with that, you know, he took such a long break from music, you forget how much he's put out. And then even with that, everything is still so relevant. Like, all the songs
are
still seem
like
really
even
fresh.
From the Justified album.
Yeah.
Like, it's still
all of them.
Like, Justified, his first album could come out today and relevant.
So, okay, well, as an artist, you know, how do you when you go into the studio and if you're making a song and you want it to have, you know, to have a lasting effect, how do you, you know, come up with that?
Well, it first starts from the track. You know, once you have a very nice track, you can create a limitless song. You know, But you just speak about something real, like something that's really happening in like real life, like real raw, like not following the line of what everybody else is doing. And that, I think that's where a lot of artists fall short, is because we put barricades on us, like, okay, we can't cross this line, we can't cross this line.
See, I don't think it's the artist that does that. I think it's the fan. I'm a big advocate of people that, you know, people are such fans of people that they put them in a box. And that's how I feel about, like, even like what you said about Lil Wayne. Why can't he rap about skateboarding now?
No, I'm not saying he can't.
And it's like, you have to respect, like, you know what I'm saying? Things change. He might not feel the same way he felt 10 years ago. He might not want to rap about those things anymore. He's already done it. Like, right. You got to, it's one of those things, like, if you take a hood rapper or, you know, someone who was rapping about the struggle, like, Gucci has to always rap about what Gucci rap about right now. He will never be relevant. Like, Gucci, I don't want to hear him rapping about
skateboards
or how he was in a big meeting. And yeah. I don't want to hear Gucci talking about that. I want Gucci to be telling me what he tells me when he rap. Like, you know,
right.
Or that's even with T.I. You know, he tried to do an album that wasn't as hood or wasn't as street as...
Which album is this?
As they typically were, but he had to go back to, you know, getting the track back jumping. Because that was his lane. Like, that's what he was good at, and that's what his fans wanted. But
see, I like Big Pop T.I. I like the Big T.I. records.
He's doing it well. I'll give him that. He does it well.
I agree.
But, you know, it's just, I think it's one of those things, and I think that fans put artists in a box and don't give them time to actually create, and we run through their music so quickly, and we don't allow it to be what it is. Like, they put it out today and then it's old tomorrow, and we're like, where's your new album? And it's only the next week.
Well, okay, expounding upon that, I want to say something earlier that we were talking about, like how Justin takes that big break or whatever, and then he comes back and gives you this great piece of work. I'm saying, like, when an artist is, like, I don't know, to me, someone like Jay or Justin or Beyonce, their music isn't like a Lil Wayne or a Gucci, to where Gucci can drop 3 mixtapes in a day and you kind of forget about it the next day.
Right.
To me, Rihanna, as big as a star she is, she's put out like 8-9 albums, and I can't name the records that are off of those albums.
I mean, but she's that kind of artist. She has to keep the market oversaturated.
To me, that seems like it's manufactured.
I mean, it is, but she's a manufactured star. Like, she's somebody...
No, I liked Good Girl Go Bad, Gone Bad, Rihanna. Like, I actually remember that album. Actually, I liked the album. You know what I mean?
Right.
As much as I could.
First one, I remember the go, Mr. DJ, come on the replay.
Yeah, Pawn the Replay,
all that stuff was cool, but...
But then, like, now it's like... So many Rihanna albums. Like, she drops like one every 6 months, it seems like. And it's just like, to me, that's manufactured type stuff.
I mean,
kind of what you're talking about.
As far as I know, she really doesn't do that much of her own writing.
Right.
So all she has to do is go in there and sing. Like, that's her job. She has no reason. Because most of the time, if for a singer,
she can sing.
Put it like this.
When you're writing your own music,
mm-hmm. I'm sure that it's a little bit more difficult to write song after song after song if you're not experiencing things, if you're not going through things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to live life a little to be able to tell what you've been through. So with Rihanna not doing a lot of her writing, she's singing somebody else's struggle. She can go in there and make an album every day if all she's doing is singing what somebody else is writing. But if you're doing the writing, you have to go out and experience life. You have to go out and get a story to tell.
Sometimes, though, No, and I agree. I think it sometimes takes away the authenticity, though, of the music. Would you say so?
I would say so.
Is that how you feel?
Yes.
I felt like you had something to say when she was talking. I don't know, so I was giving that segue. And the other thing that you were talking about, Peach, is how someone can drop something and then it comes and goes. Yesterday, there's like a media personality. I know he is an author and several things. His name is Torre. He had a show on Fuse. He's a weird looking dude.
He's an author. Did you say that?
Yeah, I said he writes books. He wrote a book on Prince and working on one on Nas. But he said yesterday, he tweeted out on Twitter that Jay-Z album came and went without a murmur. Uh-huh. Meaning like it didn't make any noise.
Sad.
What?
People are still discussing the videos now, but they're not on the song as...
I don't agree.
I guess from my view, because, you know, I like to watch Twitter. I think Twitter is, like, the best case study that's came around yet.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, especially, like, with Black Twitter and everything. So, if you watch it, it's like,
okay. I'm still don't know what that is.
Yeah. So, if you watch it, like, how obsessed and consumed people are with things in the beginning and how, like, they run it out quickly. It's like,
I don't even think it's gone. I think it's been dropped. Like, you gotta think of all the power moves he's made off of that album, right? You think about the Samsung deal when it went platinum before it dropped.
Right.
You know, number one, album in the country. Went on tour with Timberlake for stadiums.
In that regard,
Yankee
yes,
Stadium.
I don't think that's the. I don't think that's how Torre meant it. I think he meant it as the buzz of people actually still discussing it, not the benefits that Jay-Z himself
received
is still
it,
reaping
yeah.
it.
But also but the videos.
Right, people like the video type.
But the, but the, nah. To me, like, the videos also, that's an extension of the album. So it doesn't, so if he's dropping videos, it means that the album's still a relevant thing. And the two videos that have come out from the album are remarkable. You know, Picasso Baby art film, which was so dope. And then the Holy Grail video. I mean, who's doing videos like that? And hit not Lil Wayne.
I agree.
Okay.
I'm a big Jay-Z fan. So
yeah.
I'm
How'd you feel about the Holy Grail album?
Whenever you seen that, I enjoyed it.
I thought it was dope. I thought it was one of his better projects.
I thought it was, too. And I thought it was, he's a genius.
Yeah.
He is. I'm a big Jay-Z fan.
See, I
mean, Holy Grail itself.
The song?
Oh, my gosh.
Timberlake, man, did that thing.
Yes.
Timberlake was like, yo, Jay, I know this is your record and all, but I'm going to steal it from you.
Shine.
Because yes. I'm Timberlake.
Shine.
He really did come through on that record.
He did his thing. Like, it was amazing. Like, I'm still singing it. I put Instagram videos singing Timberlake's part.
Yeah.
It was really
good. Did you see the video?
Yes.
And what'd you think? How would you think how they changed it up and all that stuff?
It's genius. It's Jay-Z.
It's Jay-Z. I think the album's great. I almost took offense to it when Torre said
you
that.
You want to know what? And I seen that whenever I seen you respond, this guy.
Yeah, this guy.
Laughing. I was laughing.
This guy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know Bree, okay. But when I did get a tweet from Hove. All right.
You did.
When that day he was on Twitter. Uh-huh. All right. It was my tweet that actually started the facts only thing. To my knowledge, it was the first tweet that he said facts only on. So now me and Jay, we have an understanding with each other. We understand one another. So if you diss my brother, all right, big brother Jay, Hove, Sean, as I like to call him, SC, nickname, that's how you saved in my phone. If you like to diss SC like that, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to come at your neck,
yeah,
Torre.
I seen that.
What kind of name is Torre anyway?
So crazy.
Tour with an E on it. And on that note, we're going to take a short break here on the Brad Gilmore Show. We're going to be right back. Talk with more Bree Terry.
Yes.
Maybe get out of the artist shoes.
Okay.
And we'll put on the personal life shoes and see what's going on there and how it goes in the entertainment industry.
Okay.
All right.
Don't be shy.
You can bust out into song on the drop of a dime so we can talk about what happens behind the scenes.
Okay.
We'll be back here on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. DJ Motai. Play some music. Music?
Stop letting him do you like that.
Music. Are you going to
be
play music?
Do something.
Man, hurry up and bite. Hurry up and bite.
throw a sour punch bite at him.
A sour punch.
All right, we'll
punch.
Be right back, everybody.
I'm so gone now if your love is crazy, burning my heart so good. Feels like I'm on that road to the sun. You can be my baby. Cause your love is so blind.
love from a distance when your friends told you no, but your ass couldn't listen, cause she had that kind of thing that was super tight, super tight. And she gave that kind of feeling that was super right with no lights, huh? But everybody say she wrong for me, cause when she out, she don't pick up the phone for me. All my friends say that they just tryna be my homie, when they say my new girl kinda seem a little phony. I don't know, cause if she is, that'd be a low blow. But goddamn, wait, shawty, give a low blow. I don't even see girls walk by no more. I ain't never seen girls bounce like yo before. I just wanna know, am I stupid for staying? Or am I just attracted to the game that she playing? Or do I like that body in the bed where I'm laying? Or we just having sex, or is it love that we making? Are you taking? Or am I just a mess around? It's kinda funny after all the girls I mess around. I look up in the mirror and I see a lesson now. I guess karma laughing at me, learn my lesson now, huh?
So burn, baby, burn, baby, burn me, burn.
I'm a therapist. Girls take care of me. Anytime I needed you, I know that you'd be there for me. Light my love carefully, your smile's like a flare to me. Hold on to you forever, you the girl that made a man of me. Sold it as a fan of me, filling my life randomly. Now we sip mimosa sitting underneath a canopy. If you ever damage me, you'll be there to banish me. Had I been alone, but man, I'll be dead as she. Ain't got me feeling like a crack addict, crack addict.
Cause I feel you,
and I ain't mad at it. My life getting high up off the ground, cause this love slow burns every time you come around. So burn,
baby, burn, baby, burn me, burn, baby, burn, baby, burn me, yeah, 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 yeah.
Making sure everything was good. All right, five. I was gonna start counting down in Spanish, and I forgot what four was.
Cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno, go.
Go.
No, you're not gonna go. Are you red? Brad is turned like beat red right now, and we're still. Come on, Tyler. Let's take the show over right now. Go.
No, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
No, I already counted down. You can't recount down.
Welcome back.
Whenever she wants to overshadow me.
Yeah,
she wants to do it.
That's why it's the Brad Gilmore Show with Peaches
and DJ Moti.
And DJ Moti.
I will step on you.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I got, like, I named the show before both of y'all. So it's not like I can just turn. It's a branding, Peaches. You know about branding. So don't make me feel bad that the show's named after me.
I was the one.
Peaches.
I told him.
Don't, Peaches, don't yell.
Now don't yell.
It's okay.
I was the one that was like, we should keep it with the name that it is.
Oh, Peaches, don't lie.
What?
Why are you going to lie on air?
Because I'm on
all our listeners are like, oh, Peaches is a liar.
I'm a liar.
Hashtag Peaches is a liar.
Hashtag Peaches is a liar. And then hashtag Ask Peaches right after that.
Yeah, Ask Peaches out tomorrow.
All the shameless plugs.
It's a fake Monday morning, by the way. And we're back here with
your coffee.
Or your tea.
That's what you do.
Your tea with ginseng.
Or your shot of ginseng.
Or your shot of ginseng with the little straws. All right. We're back here with Bree Terry. Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
I wasn't expecting the rebuttal. How are you doing? Normally, it's like a one-way thing. It's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. And then we can continue the conversation. But you threw in the how are you doing, my complete train of thought fell off track.
So then we had to listen to you walk yourself through your train of thought being lost.
Oh, yeah.
Tight.
I look out for the listeners.
It was, right?
No, it's not. I look out for the listeners.
They clearly saw you.
You lie.
You were confused.
You lie to the listeners.
What I lie about?
I look out for them. Peaches is a liar.
You a liar.
Brad's
That's why you got a piece of hair
time.
Sticking up, and I'm not
do
even
I not,
lying.
Do I really?
Yep.
And I don't even have my brush with me today. Oh, this is terrible. Okay. Anyway.
This is terrible.
I left my brush at home. I was so mad. Anyway.
You're such a terrible. Diva.
I'm a Devo. All
a
right.
Diva.
Let's get it right. What's like the masculine version of a diva?
Brad Gilmore.
All right. I'll take that. I'll take that. So anyway, you're talking about your music to catch people up.
Yes.
Start performing at six. What is your biggest show you've played, would you say? Or your favorite show, either one?
I would say I got asked to perform at the Essence Festival in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
So that was a great.
Was that this year?
Last year.
Last year's? Mm-hmm.
How was it?
It was really good. It was really interesting. The people were interesting, too.
What does that mean?
I mean, it just wasn't what I expected. Like, I usually, whenever you go to a place that you're not from, you expect non-receptive, you know?
Oh, okay.
So it's the opposite? They were very receptive, very, you know, really, they was dancing
so
and everything. It was just really,
yeah.
It was interesting.
Well, you know why? Because it's not Houston.
What? Right, yeah, Houston crowd.
That's why.
I don't understand. They come to the shows to look at you.
They come into the shows to not be entertained.
But that's something that I do like about Debonair Lounge.
Shout out once again. Hashtag Debonair Lounge.
To be honest, I was really impressed with
Brad Gilmore.
DJ Motai.
Duke of Debonair.
Peaches at the door.
Lord Trillmore. Entertainment world champion.
Peaches has Peruvian hair.
King of the Bouffants. All right, keep going.
No.
Free
anything.
What were you saying about the Debonair Lounge?
But no, I mean, it was because, you know, I go to a lot of shows and not rap, but R&B artists haven't really had that much, you know, shine as far as it goes. And for a venue like that and, you know, with the live band and the turnout that it's been having and just the camaraderie and the actual, like, the vibe in there is so dope. Like, it's so dope. Like, I told everybody, like, yo, y'all got to come. And then, of course, they have wine, so I'm always there.
has a glass of wine working the door.
Yes, seen her.
She's just chilling.
I'm there fake busy. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think, you know, it's kind of that transitioning of what we really don't have right now. It's, you know, people are dressing up. They're putting on their grown-up clothes.
Yes.
Because even for me, I was like, I got to put real clothes on
my suit and tie.
You know, so I think it's a warm feeling.
It is,
and it's really 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 dope. Like,
man, you know when Tay Mitch hears that, he's gonna clip your sound bite.
I know.
He's
just
gonna, it's gonna be his ringtone. That's
right.
Hi, Tay Mitch.
Yes.
Bye, Tay Mitch.
No, hi, Tay Mitch.
No, yeah. What's up, man? Anyway, but so Essence Festival though was one of the bigger shows. What is your least favorite show moment or worst show you've ever done? Anything embarrassing ever happened or anything like that? Oh, there's got to be something. You've been performing since you were six. Tell me you've never tripped. You've never
okay. forgot the words.
Voice crack.
Okay, so let me say this. And I usually don't say things like this, but in Debonair the other night.
Yeah.
I forgot the words in my third song. And I was just humming it on by, you know, just acting like I just knew what I was saying. And
I didn't notice at all.
I did not notice.
Forgot the words. To Bruno Mars, Locked Out of Heaven.
Oh, man.
I didn't notice.
You did?
Dad!
My dad noticed. I was just vibing along. But let me see. My most embarrassing show.
Worst show. Just going to be the worst show. Like it was just like, it wasn't even on you. It was like, the venue was terrible. Or the promoter.
The sound was bad. Lighting.
Oh, my gosh. Which one? Okay, I had a performance this year at Bayou City Wings. And
is that off 45?
No,
there is one off of 45, but it's not that one. No, I went. It was actually in Baytown, but this is my hometown where, you know, everybody knows me. I know everybody.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm expecting my most support.
Yeah.
Possibly. Well,
you would think
I was.
You would think.
But the only people attended was my family, a few friends, and the waitresses. People from the inside didn't even come outside.
Oh, wow.
It was really lame.
Wow. Did it make you feel bad?
No. I mean, yeah. A little bit. But I still sang and performed as if it was, you know, a crowd full of people. But it just kind of made me think like, what happened?
Why didn't people come out?
I don't know.
See, that's really defeating.
Right?
To me.
I mean, it was.
I just got a picture of the show. There's definitely, for at least from this picture, it doesn't seem like it was a packed house.
It wasn't. It was a little discouraging having that be the place that I'm from. You know, you would imagine to have, you know, more supporters than a handful. But I mean, they also do say, you know, you got to make it out, then come back home. That's when they're going to show you love. They're not going to show you love in the struggle. And it's sad.
It is, because it's like, sad. And then it's like, you have to let them receive you. But it was like, y'all wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
Yeah, you weren't with me shooting.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm always reaching out, you know, always reaching out to my community in major ways. I mentor about 15 to 20 young girls in my community. Around the Juneteenth time, like during the year, we do like charity things, like visit the nursing homes, and around Christmas time, bring them socks and stuff like that. But about 2 months before June 19th, I'll do registration, and I'll have the girls come out where I teach them about
that's amazing.
Becoming a woman, not becoming a woman, but how to be ladylike, how to self-esteem. Present yourself. Self-esteem.
I have a thing like that.
Yes. And I, on June, on the actual Juneteenth, where we celebrate on the Saturday, I always perform at our community park, and I allow the young girls to, I teach them a dance, and they come out and they perform with me, and they just think, you know, it's just the everything in the world, you know, but it is my duty. I honestly feel to encourage my youth, the youth in Baytown.
Man, Bree Terry has it together.
You know, like so many people. Like, it's because this was Jesus.
It didn't come easy.
I'm sure it didn't.
I mean, growing up, I'm not gonna say that I didn't have somebody, but I wish I would have had somebody. Like what I do, like being in this industry. I mean, it's very hard. You know,
and as
like
a woman,
it takes
it's harder.
Yes, and as a woman, it's harder. And but to show, but to have like you such an impact on some younger girls, I just want to encourage them. It don't matter what your dream is. You know, it could be. I'm not even gonna throw anything out, but it could be whatever it is. I mean, just shoot for it. I mean, what's the
okay? Well, then here's my question to that. Then so like you mentor these young ladies into you know being ladylike, having couth, as Peach's favorite word is. what do you think? And you know they can aspire to be whatever they want to be. But I heard a little girl. I went to Heard this little girl mentioned that she wants to be like the Kardashians, right? She wants
That's
to be
so
like Kim.
To me.
And it kind of took me aback a little bit because I don't know if she means I want to be a successful businesswoman or I want to be an overglorified whore.
I would say look at it in the successful businesswoman type manner because no young girl or how old was she? About
she could have been older than 9 or 10.
Yeah, I mean, what she sees, she doesn't see because what happened with Kim was so long ago. Not that it's still not heard of, but what she see is Kim on TV making money. You know,
when did the tape drop? it was like a mixtape. When did the tape drop?
It's but very, it's like 07? Very old.
Was that 07?
I don't remember the year.
Something like that?
I don't remember the year either, but I know that it was a little.
I know Ray J was popping.
At the time.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Because he made her famous.
She just, the young girls just see what's on TV and having money and having that
But what about even like the content of the show? Like Courtney running around with like a strap on dildo and trying to
do
weird stuff
that
and
aren't far fetched though.
But then Jenner, the Chris and the Bruce Jenner said they had a tape out or they made a tape. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it's entertainment, but then when there are young girls, I don't know. I mean, I have two. I have two nieces, and I don't want my nieces to look at that and say,
I
want to be a Kardashian or I want to be a Jenner because I don't want them to be that. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
I don't think. I mean, I understand they're rich and they're famous and they have all these lines for Macy's and clothing or whatever, and that's cool and all. But at the end of the day, the whole family got. You know, their fame from their daughter, the patriarch, the freaking, you know, end-all, be-all, having sexual relations with a R&B singer on tape.
I mean...
And it wasn't even a good tape.
That's not... That's
you watched
not,
it?
I watched the tape.
I did, too. But
yeah, I had to watch the tape. You would want to know.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's not just about that. Like, that situation is so much deeper than what everybody understands.
Yes.
Like, it's not them. In real life, that's their mom. Like, their mom has a lot to do with what gets put out, what gets seen, what stories get told.
No, I'm not saying it's because it's making them bunches of money.
Right, and then that goes to, as well, you know, like she said, some things that are put out, you can't control it. All you can do is combat it. So if you see someone... Like, even with any of the reality TV shows, like, you know, it's like for younger black youth, all they see are the girls that are on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta or New York or all these girls who are...
And that's terrible.
And I agree with you. But for me to say that and then to be someone that's going to stand up behind it, I have to make sure that I carry myself in that way at all times if I'm going to be like, well, that's not, you know, you don't have to do that. And it's not something that's taught. And that's why I think it's amazing that you do have, you know, your outreach. Because instead of just sitting here saying how much you don't agree with it, you're actually doing something about it.
To stop
and that's
it,
what makes the difference. Like, that's the thing that, you know, that separates. So like, sure, I can sit up here and say, I hate it. But if you don't have anything that's directly combating it, you just hate it. It's tight, but you just hate it.
And I don't know, just stuff like the Kardashians, and
I mean,
then there's, like you said, Love & Hip Hop.
TV shouldn't be raising your child, so they should see these things. And then I feel like, you know, as a parent, and if that was in my house, if they're gonna watch it because it's on, like I could say don't watch the TV, but they're gonna see it regardless.
Right.
But you can't say also that what's on those television shows don't influence.
It does, but
the youth. Because I know when I was young and I would see Stone Cold Steve Austin shoot someone the middle finger and drink a beer afterward, I wanted to do that.
Until you got reprimanded by your mother or father.
No, I still wanted to. Mother and father, regardless, Stone Cold Steve Austin was the hottest thing ever.
Okay, well, then you learned when and where.
Okay.
I learned when I got older. When I grew up, I was like, I shouldn't flick people off and then kick them in the gut.
That's the thing about being a child. You're learning your limits. As a child, you're learning how far you can go in every instance. And then as an adult, like as you get older, you're learning what your parents taught you versus what you want to do, and then you're finding a balance in that. That's just exactly. part of growing up. That's part of becoming who you are.
But then there are people. But what about people who are around our age or close to our age? I mean. But then think about freaking the people on television acting this way. Obviously, something is wrong there. There's some kind of disconnect because they're getting their money.
Yeah,
that's entertainment, but I don't know.
I mean,
but as an entertainer, you're an entertainer. We're all entertainers,
right?
I do and say a lot of things, you know, for entertainment purposes.
Exactly.
But I don't do anything to where I was like, if someone, because you know, I have, you know, like I said, I have two nieces, five nephews. Obviously, I don't have any children of my own that I claim. I don't want them, you know, ever hearing or seeing anything that I do and saying, oh, well, if Uncle Brad does it, you know, it's fine. But then you see these makes it even look worse on women for these shows, the Love and Hip Hops.
And it does.
And the Miley Cyrus at the VMA Twerk Fest.
Jeez, seriously, just.
What was that? How'd you feel seeing that?
I was just like, what happened?
I know. She was Hannah Montana.
I just think, what happened to women? Like, where, at what
point? Why is that okay?
Yeah. When I think about, like, my grandmother and my aunts that were older, they were so distinguished and they were so classy and they were just so, like, womanly. And I look at women now and I'm like, she a hoe. Like, and not even me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, though.
Not even that's what she is, but it's just like.
You should hear how guys talk to one another about women.
You know, any kind of way. And then even with that, with the way that some women let men talk to them, and then they're coming to me. I'm like, who do you talk to like that, and why do they let you do this?
Yeah,
because it's not okay. But
and I mean, what's funny is I think some of these women think doing stuff like Miley Cyrus, the twerk stuff or whatever, or the act, I don't know, or the butt injections and the all that stuff. I mean, like, yeah, sometimes as a man, okay, yeah, we'll look at it. But we definitely don't want to put handcuffs on it. Cuffing season. I don't want to claim it.
Okay.
You know, I'll say it. I might spend a night with it, but I don't want to.
You don't want to take it home to mom.
Motai can feel me.
Brad,
on that.
We about to talk. Girl talk. Be okay. quiet.
Yes.
As a woman in this industry, when you get approached, how do you handle it?
Oh, good question. She says I'm taken.
I mean, like if.
By Brad Gilmore.
When I get approached,
not true.
Doing what I do, I really don't entertain it because I think of it as if you only want to take me out because of what you see.
Hmm.
You know, like you. I mean, I just feel like it's not for a genuine reason. Like, and I mean, I could be wrong. You know, because they could really. Genuine want to take me out, you know, but because of what I do and what I'm trying to accomplish, I don't entertain it. Mm. It's like I can't
at all.
Mm-mm.
See, she sounds like me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't entertain it right now.
That's what I say.
I mean, I'm trying to become established. I'm trying to, you know, get somewhere right now to where, I mean, and then guys approach.
Wrong. This wrong.
They approach
How do they approach?
What's the worst three pickup lines you've ever?
Yeah. No, I even want to hear pickup lines. Just give
this
me a
the worst
story.
Three. Yeah, the worst three.
I want to hear
like,
something.
Initial things.
Okay. Well, first, you should never approach me biting your lip.
Like looking really thirsty, like you should actually be thirsty. Sometimes somebody can stare at you like they want to just take you right now, rip your clothes off, and do you where they see you.
I am a whole grown woman, okay? So look, another thing. Okay, so you approach yourself, you introduce, you tell me who you are,
mm-hmm.
and I engage in conversation.
Word.
But I'm talking to you. And you're slowly, your eyes are slowly
going down.
And listen, guys, I'm sitting here having a conversation with this man. I'm quoting my hands, okay, guys, who's out there listening? A man. And as I'm talking to him, he literally steps from in front of me, walk around, and, like, scopes me out while I'm talking.
And he comes back to the front. Yeah.
I find that disrespectful.
I find that very disrespectful.
Come on, guys. Come back to the front. Listen, come
You're supposed
back
to do
front.
Your recruiting before you approach.
Right, okay.
You got to scout it out first.
Don't let me see you do it.
Come on.
And then come back to the front and then get back into conversation.
Like he didn't just do a whole 360. If you didn't approve on your walkthrough, you was going to just leave the conversation that you started.
I'm talking about like...
That would actually be great. If a guy just like checked it out, I was like, nah, not for me. I'm going to leave this conversation.
But that's great. I mean, and that's just my...
Guys don't know how to approach me.
No one's ever successfully...
Some have successfully approached me,
but then I get into conversation and
it's not there.
It's not a good conversation.
She sounds like me.
Did you just answer your own question?
I mean, I can tell in conversation if I can go on a date with you. I can tell in conversation if, you know, it can be friends or hanging out. And I just haven't found that.
You know, and it's funny, like, the double standard, because on, like, the male side of entertainment, it's like you can entertain all these women, right? You know, and you got to be careful because some of them are trying to bop to the top. You know what I'm talking about? There's some boppers out here. Right. He feels me. He's shaking. I got you, man. They're trying to bop to the top. But I just find that funny that because, you know, well, yeah, sign language, I like it too. Bow.
I was telling you the time, but go ahead.
But I don't know. I think that's funny because y'all talking to you just now about this and having known her for what seems like an eternity, y'all. I guess this might be like a consistent thing with women within the entertainment industry.
Yeah, women who are trying to become successful.
I mean, because you know.
So like, do you have to watch who you date to, like, or who you go out with? Because we don't think about that as men.
Because I mean, it's hard. Like, once you get seen with somebody,
as like a public image,
oh my gosh, you're
and
gonna,
you think have about to be it? Consistent yeah, for a certain amount of time, or it's like, okay, you messing around. It's like it was one person, but you know, it is what it is, and then it's just one of those things where it's like
you mess with one too many dudes as a woman, you're labeled,
you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be what is perceived as. It could have been like, okay, you just wanted to hang out to see if this could go somewhere, and all right, I'm gonna go, or you know, even it's. You know, it's a thing of being somewhere and going and, you know, I have what I have to do in the same venue that you may have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have these people that I still have to speak to regardless of whether or not I'm with you. And I don't have time for you to be possessive and argumentative with me because I just had to dap up 20 rappers. Like, I'm sorry, but that's kind of what my job is. Like, that's kind of, that's me speaking. That's my networking.
Oh,
I can't,
man.
I can't.
That's terrible.
I'm not disrespecting you, but I need you to understand that I need to do this.
And then being a woman in the industry and being beautiful and like you are and like myself.
Girl, stop.
No, seriously. But honestly.
Peach likes being complimented,
you
too.
You have to definitely babysit these men.
You do.
Because you being in a little bit of light. Or whatever, guys get all in their hearts, and you better not hug too many, okay, baby?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you get to the bar, there's a conversation. Oh, okay, so you just stop by and you hug 10 dudes before you walk to the car.
Like, you mad?
And that's something that
I would have done it whether you were there or not. Luckily, I did it in front of you. So again, I'm don't understand why you're upset.
You see what I'm saying? So I mean, being beautiful and being in the entertainment business is. It's really hard to date. I mean, it's really hard to do anything. You have to be on the low with
everything. And then it's like one of those things where I'm not being secretive. I just don't want everybody in my business simply because that's not where they belong. Like,
right?
I feel like, you know, people in the industry that typically date for a while before it becomes public is to make sure that you can sustain the attention that it's going to get. Like, people already have their perceptions of you, and then when it's with someone that they might not have seen you, they're like, well, why are you there? Like, you know, and it's like, okay, if you know, the person that you're with, if y'all haven't already established where y'all are and already built the foundation for your relationship to take the extra stuff that's going to come along with it, then it's not going to last.
And
nobody needs to know what you're trying to build
with this person. Yes.
Because it might not be... You know, what it's perceived as or what they wanted. It might just be what it is for the moment and then, you know, whatever. So it's one of those things where it's not being secretive and it's not being bougie and it's not being standoffish. It's just like, okay.
It's being smart.
You're right.
It's being smart. I mean,
and it's like you can't even win as a woman now that I'm thinking about it, because it's like
if you
publicly come out dating some guy, one boom, you almost turn every one of your male fans off, because now it's like, okay, she's not attainable.
Or they all come out the woodworks like, well, how serious is it? Because I forgot to put my shit in. Like, what?
And then, but then, what if you're a woman in the entertainment industry? Like hold on, and then you date another entertainer, it's still bad. Yeah. Because then it's like, okay, then like it could damage relationships with other entertainers.
Well, no, because that comes down to
other musicians, other actors, whatever.
You know, if you're in an event, is it are we here for me?
Who's what?
If you're dating somebody else that's inside of the industry, like,
oh, whose night? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like whose night is it? Like if we're doing an event and it's my night, then
yeah, me too.
You know, then you're there to be my date. You're there to be my man.
Yeah.
It's like if I'm going to an event for you, I'm going there to be with you. I'm not gonna take, you know, what, like, that's like going somewhere with a friend or with someone that you're with that's in the entertainment industry, but you're there for their show or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you take over all the attention that they're supposed to have.
Exactly.
And it's like if that happens, you know, as a woman, you have to gracefully put it back where it belongs, which is on him. And that can be a lot for a dude to handle, you know, even if you put it back, because it's like, this wasn't even about you. And, you know, that's real, and that has to be respected. So it's one of those things where, especially if you're trying to date within the industry, there are certain boundaries and certain things that need to be set in place way before it ever comes out.
Right. I agree.
So you know how to maneuver.
It's very hard.
See, I just came out with a new outlook.
Right.
It's level to this.
It's levels. Mm-hmm.
See, Motai, maybe me and Motai need to start thinking a little more about especially me. Motai, you're good. I didn't even think about stuff like that. That's actually a new outlook. Look at this. Look at Bree Terry. You said it all.
Well, I'm gonna read this, because there was this woman named Vanessa Beasley made a good point on Twitter the other day. She was like, the main reason why it's easy to paint single industry women as hoes is because they have more quality suitors, which is true.
Yes.
Quality in the context meaning that men other women believe are desirable or held to a fantasy or wish list, which is true. So, for instance, everybody is easy to deem Kim Kardashian a hoe, but via her world, we assume she's a hoe because who we know that she's dated and because all these men have money. That's her world.
Regardless if the men had money or not, I would still put her in that category.
Okay, let's say a respectable single 30-year-old woman turns away 95% of her male suitors. At that rate, some women may have low body counts, others no. Women without options are queens of hoe shaming because their reality is just different. And that's true. You only, like, if you, that's, for instance, like, it's like a batting average. You can only hit balls that are thrown at you. If nobody's throwing any balls, then you're not hitting anything.
You're not catching any.
Right. Now, if you're getting a lot of balls thrown at you, at some point, you have to do something about it.
Yeah. Jerk. Just put your hand up. No more. No mas.
I'm gonna stop walking into these windows.
You set them up.
I did, and then I didn't. Like, I tried to keep going, and then
if you have no balls coming at you, it's just like, yo, Peaches, you gotta think before you speak sometimes, sweetheart.
Leave her alone, Brad.
I'm sorry.
Like, he's such a jerk. Hey, I'm gonna kick you when we get outside.
That's all right. Someone's gotta drive you home. Remember that.
That's how you gonna do me?
Yeah.
See how you just threw me under the bus? See how this relationship isn't gonna work, Brad? Brad always threw me under the bus.
Anyway, Bree.
Yes.
We appreciate you for coming on the show. Before you leave, though.
Okay.
All right. You working on anything musically that's about to come out for our music, for our listening pleasure?
Yes, I'm working on a mixtape right now. We don't have a dropping date at the time, but just keep your ears open, keep your eyes open, because we will be releasing some new music very, very soon.
Uh-oh. Where can people follow you on social media or get in contact with you, all that good stuff?
Yes, you guys can follow me at TheBreeTerry on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook is BreeTerry, TheBreeTerry, everything.
YouTube and all that
everything.
Goodness.
Yes, YouTube.com/TheBreeTerry.
TheBreeTerry. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much
for having
me.
I've enjoyed it.
Me too.
She's so ladylike. Oh, yeah, duh. But that was obvious. No, anyway, we appreciate you coming through. Y'all yes. tune in next week to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Yes.
On demand.
There you go, Moti.
You know, I'm gonna say you gotta see the intro.
Hey. To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. Everything you own in the box to the left. In the closet, that's my stuff, yes, if I bought it. Please don't touch. Keep talking that mess, that's fine. Could you walk and talk at the same time, man? It's my name that's on that jack. Go move your bag, let me call you a cab. Standing in the front yard, telling me how I'm such a fool. Talking about I will never ever find a man like you. You got me twisted. You must not know about me. You must not know about me. I could have another you in a minute. Matter of fact, he'll be here in a minute. Baby, you must not know about me. You must not know about me. I could have another you by tomorrow. Don't you ever for a second get to thinking you're irreplaceable. That's it. Everybody give it up for my daddy. Yes.
It's been a while.
Brad Gilmore, thank you so much for having me.